CliffCentral.com.
Everything has changed. It's 12 after 8, CliffCentral.com. On a Thursday morning, the weekend's not that far away. You'll make it. It's time this morning to meet a man that I've met once or twice before, but we've never really got to sit down and talk because he's always so busy. And there's so many people who want to talk to him. And it's ironic and I suppose fortuitous that we get to speak to him after a day where he got to flex a whole lot of party power and muscle in the streets of Johannesburg. And I think it caught a lot of people off guard yesterday to see the streets of Joburg turn blue, a color that we haven't seen them turn for in living memory. We've seen them red with COSATU marches. We've seen them red with EFF marches. We've seen them in yellow and black and green for the ANC. But yesterday it was all a big sea of blue. And Herman Mashaba is here today, DA's mayoral candidate for Johannesburg. That's your most recent title. But before that, you were known by many other honorific titles. How are you, Herman?
Good morning, Gareth. What a great pleasure. Yesterday was awesome. I mean,
did it fill you up with energy?
No, without any doubt, it exceeded our wildest expectations. When the party started really having this discussion, and the last few days up to it, actually a day before, we were expecting 10,000 people, and we were bullish about it. And you can imagine, I mean, getting 10,000 people is not a small issue. And look at what really turned out. I was reading one of the papers this morning saying that 20,000 the people. So I think what does actually this say to South Africa? You see South Africans, black and white, out there, and in short, in that we bring change to this country. And I'm so really excited that Johannesburg is going to really lead this change.
Now, how do you deal with how many T-shirts you have to provide for these 20,000 people?
Well,
logistics.
But I think, you know what, our team, we've got organizational ability. It's really one thing that that we can really demonstrate to this country, that when we take over Johannesburg, when we take over Pretoria and Port Elizabeth, that's when really people will really see what delivery actually means. And people of this country are really waiting to see their cities operate again. We can assure people of Johannesburg, of Pretoria and Port Elizabeth, we're ready for them.
We know
they're going to give us the mandate to take over the cities and really turn them around. And we're ready. We already started the preparations. We're the government in waiting.
Very interesting stuff that you've decided that all three need to go now. So
I'm not really the one who've decided that. The voters of this country have decided. You know, you can't really run the country by a lie. It's not possible. It has never happened anywhere in the history of mankind that you can have the government that the thing they can really run the country by lying to citizens. It can't happen. South Africa can't be an exception. Unfortunately, this government, the current government, took advantage of the goodwill of our people when for 21 years saying, please, we're giving you the chance. But yesterday, classical example of the demonstration of our people that they've had enough and they're ready for change.
Herman, I hope you don't get offended by this comparison, but you're almost a bit of a Donald Trump in some ways. don't be upset, because what I mean is that you're a man who really, you've got a great life. You've done extremely well. You've built yourself up. You've built up a business that's been tremendously successful. You've proven yourself to the world. And just like I'd sit down and ask Donald Trump this, I have to ask you, why would you go into politics and risk a reputation which is really...
And be insulted.
Be insulted publicly. Have people drag your name through the mud on Twitter. Compare you to all kinds of things worse than Donald Trump, if there are such things. Mm. You know, when really you've got a lot of money. You can live very happily. You can go, you travel with your wife and you've got a lovely family. You can do whatever you want. Why would you subject yourself to this nonsense at this stage of your life?
Oh, my goodness. I really wish this could really be nonsense. Gareth, I was born out in Amanskraal, in a small village called Haramotsi.
Apparently, your family and justice's family.
We come from the same area. We all come from the same area, small villages with no water, with no electricity, brought up by a domestic mother who I would be lucky if in my youth that I would really see her once a month.
Wow.
And I was really lucky for some reason that I chose business actually to attain my independence. And for the last for over 30 years of my life, I've really regarded myself to have really been a privileged human being and a privileged South African. And it makes me, it annoys me when people are saying, why should I actually worry about other people? I've got family members. I've got my fellow South Africans in Amanskraal, in Soweto, in Alexander. Every time I visit my unemployed family in Alexander, consumed by drugs, alcohols. There's a drug called Nyaope in our communities because of this high unemployment caused by this government. I'd really look at this and I say, Herman, are you comfortable to go and play golf and go and drink the most expensive whiskeys and go to the most expensive restaurants? Is that what life is all about? I can assure you, Gareth, that's not what life is all about. I'm a capitalist. I love the capitalist system because the capitalist system can create wealth, can create, give people, human beings, independence.
You walk that
road. But at the end of the day, what are we doing all this for? I think, you know what, I'm for equality. But you know the type of equality I'm talking about? For every South African to be given an opportunity to do things for themselves, not to think that government will actually do it for them. It's for that reason that I've written my the recent book called Capitalist Crusader, so that I can really find ways to actually get our people to embrace self-reliance, because we have a government right now that's actually, for me, honestly, they want to promote what I call public slavery. Because if trained by the Russians, the communist thinking, it's about public slavery. What you do to control people, you turn them into slaves, to make them totally dependent on the state. And in that way, then, you know what, the Politburo, the leadership, will then enjoy the best in life. They'll enjoy the best wines, the best whiskeys, the best motor cars you can ever. They'll have blue lights around them. Mm. They don't have to worry about this. Because the public slaves, give them.
The people are propping up the system.
Yeah, no, the people give them food parcels from time to time, give them social grants and so forth. And I'm saying to myself as a South African, can I watch this movie unfolding in my eyes? And I said, Herman, if you decide to fold your arms, one thing for sure is that God will punish you. And I've really now taken this upon myself to say, look, you know what? As a privileged South African, as a member of civil society in this country, let me put my head on the my body on the line. And it's for that reason that, fortunate enough, there was this beautiful organization called the Democratic Alliance, where I believed so much in most of the policies that they're advocating. And I said, let me go and really work. Let me go and work with this committed South Africans, because the Democratic Alliance has proven beyond any reasonable doubt that their policies are for the advancement of all people of South Africa.
It's one thing to be an agent for social change and to be someone who is a civil society activist, which is what you've always been. You were this long before you joined the DA or anything else. You were a person who got involved in the community. You were a person who made changes in your own ways. But it's an entirely different thing to join a political party. And you get a lot of flack for this. And I asked Salim Simanga 2 weeks ago, and I asked Musi Maimane late last year, to be a black man in the DA, you get a huge amount of criticism. Some of it, some people feel they're justified in leveling at you.
Well,
some
I think
of it seems irrational to me. Can you explain?
No, Gareth, you know why they would ostracize? Because they've become so racist. Because their lives revolve around racism. They want to see, the only way you can see the ruling party, current ruling party, their survival is totally dependent on a divided nation, country. We've got to be divided on racial grounds for them to really survive. So obviously, there's a possibility of South Africans joining together like Mandela wanted, they don't like it because they're not going to stay in power. So obviously, DA is a threat to them. Now with black people joining, it's a threat to them because then they don't want to see Mandela's dream of a rainbow nation realized, because Mandela's rainbow nation realized it is not going to work in their interest. in their own personal interest, not in the national interest.
I see them putting up polls and things and research that's been done on who makes the decisions in the DA. And it, according to these naysayers and these critics, and some of them are journalists and some of them have some influence on society, they're saying that the DA is still largely controlled by white men. In fact, I saw some of this criticism coming from Lindiwe Mazibuko, who Lindiwe was a person who was in the party structures for some time. Do you say that these people are just malcontents?
Well, I think it's a really unfortunate. Look, I don't really know what Lindiwe said. I've just really seen the billboards. Not even really interested to read, because obviously if Lindiwe was in the DA for so long, and she was part of the senior structures, and if she wasn't really making decisions and deciding for herself, I don't really then really believe that I've got to really blame anybody else. I think it's, if I really look at the DA is not the party that just started yesterday. I think if you look at luminaries like Helen Suzman and so forth, at the time when South African black people were not allowed to really be in political office, Helen and others really fought for my personal freedom that I'm enjoying today. So because of, by virtue of historical context of the party, absolutely, it will really be dominated by whites. But what type of white people are this? These are the whites who fought for us. For my own personal liberation, the independence and the freedom that I'm enjoying today is because of the efforts of such whites. So
you're saying the struggle is not a monopoly of the ANCs. There were many other people after PAC.
What role did the ANC really play? And I'm not really undermining. ANC really played the role. PAC played the role. South African Communist Party, civil society, the international community in this country, the world played a role in the collapse of the apartheid regime. Civil society in this country.
But it's wrong
churches.
For the ANC to assume that
look at the role that played by Desmond Tutu, who's today really hurt. He's laying at home as an old man, really disappointed with what he's seeing. And for ANC to think that they're the only ones who liberated this country. Please, we're not really stupid to that level. I think, and we're not really saying that they did not really play the role. They played the role like everybody else, all of us, as business people in this country. We spend our money in this country during the dark days of this country's struggle in ensuring that our people are really taken off. Spend millions of our money as part of the voter education prior to 1994. So all of us really played the role. So we must not really think that credit must be given to really one person. And I believe people like Helen Suzman and the DA, they've got to be given credit. Look at the role that Helen Zille played in the struggle. Mm-hmm. And do they want to tell that? Absolutely not. The role that Beyers Naudé played, white man, Afrikaner for that matter, Beyers Naudé wasn't black. Was a God-created creature, happened to really be white. What role did you play? He suffered under the apartheid rule. And for someone now today saying whites are inherently racist, I think it's a deep-rooted thing that I believe in. I really want us South Africans to please, let's really watch against such onslaught. Because right now, this ruling party, their survival is dependent on ensuring that we are a divided nation. And I'm not really saying that there are no racists in this country. Racists can't really... Racists are all over the world. Anywhere in the world. I think it's up to society to ensure that when you have racists, you deal with them and really move on. But let us not really generalize.
But you've taken quite a lot of flack, too, from people who say that you're wrong to say that we should remove race-based policies. You've been accused of hypocrisy because race is something that you don't. You said, and again, I don't want to quote you out of context. Maybe you can explain it to us. You said that if you could, you would remove black, white, colored, and Indian from laws, for example. And
when they are used to really divide us along racial lines, we must use them in the right context. Mm-hmm. We must not really use them when we have the NC government and the current B policies, using them precisely to divide us along racial lines, not to really achieve the inequalities and redress, because they're not really interested about the redress of majority of our people. The NC is not really interested in that. They are only interested in really coming out, firstly, with policies that can openly separate us along racial lines. Secondly, ensure that they use the system to buy political patronage so that they can actually milk the country and completely ignore majority of our people. Gareth, on Tuesday, it's been there yesterday in the papers. Fortunate enough, some media people accompany us to Soweto. We went to one shopping center in Dobsonville, and I'm going to be visiting more of them every day, going to really talk to our people, because you know how I've been really fighting for small black business in this country for the last few years through the Free Market Foundation. We have a court case coming through now, and I invite you as journalists, as people who are interested in the future of this country, come and listen to our court case on this 22nd, 23rd and 24th of February.
What's it about? About
the bargaining councils and how the NC government and COSATU have annihilated and destroyed small business in this country. How they've deprived 8.5 million South Africans from getting job opportunities. But coming back to this issue about the shopping center in Dobsonville, it is then in the public domain. Mm-hmm. This shopping center built in the 50s by the evil apartheid system, we had these small shopping centers. One businessman there is running a butchery. It's a third generation. This business started by his grandfather, his father. Now he's a third generation. You go and look at this shopping center, you will cry. And I said to the journalist, I said, you know, I really, really wish this, and really hope this was a bedroom. I cannot believe.
Tell me about
it. Yeah, no. Why, honestly? I said to the media, I said, I wish this was a bedroom. This shopping center, belonging to the city of Johannesburg, completely ignored. And then the new South Africa comes because of all these BE opportunities to connive with big business. We go and build big shopping centers where obviously the BE politicians obviously benefit all over. We go and build big shopping center. You ignore black businessmen and women who've been running business for three generations. You leave them in a shopping center that you actually completely ignore. You can imagine a shopping center is not really being fixed.
Is it derelict?
No. How people live under those conditions. How do you expect a society in a community in Dobsonville to go and shop in that shopping center? And now, the poor businessmen and the men, women, they've been saying to the ANC government for all these years, please, allow us to have title deeds so that we can improve the shops if you don't want to prove it all. But you know what? They always go there before the elections, go and promise them that they're doing something about it. That's why these men and women called us in and says, Herman, we're really glad that you've taken over. We know you from the days of this country's dark history. Please come and have a look. And I went with my team and I've exposed this to South Africa. And now that is what I'm saying to people when I'm talking about redress. I'm saying black economic empowerment cannot only benefit politically connected to South Africans. How these guys are ignored. These are the people that we should have actually empowered. That shopping center, before building a big shopping center next to it, that's a shopping center that should have really been improved. And I said to that community, I said, you know what, please give us a chance as a DA, because I'm really very angry. This is no longer a question of, I'm embarrassed as a South African to have really allowed the situation to develop. I said, please give us a chance, and I'm committing my party. As soon as we take over this government, one of my priorities would really be to immediately improve the shopping center so that the people of Dobsonville can have a neighborhood shopping center where they can buy from. They've been buying there for the last 50 years, for more than 50 years.
I'm just amazed and that then, this guy survived.
And then I said to them, what I will do, the government will immediately improve the shopping center and immediately give you the title deeds that government, we don't need anything from you. Yeah. You don't have to really pay a cent. That is how far I feel that this country has wronged you. The ANC government has actually failed you. Failed you more than the apartheid government. They have failed that community. I'm happy at any time. Call any South African to really take them to the shopping center. Wasn't created by me as a political ploy. This is a reality, and I'll take you to more.
In some ways, you're an inconvenience to the ANC in more ways than just your political affiliations. You're inconvenient to them because their policies are saying things like, for example, unless you can be included in some BEE deal, you won't ever make it. And I want to go back into your story here because a lot of people don't necessarily know it. during apartheid, when everything was as tough as it could be for a black man, particularly a young black man from Hammanskraal, you decided you wanted to start a black hair product business. Because you said, you know, white people aren't making these products for us. They don't care about us.
And I said, I'm not going to make them for Leon and Pam, these women. I'm going to make it for myself. And the apartheid government said, by law, you should not. And I figured it out. I said, I'm no longer prepared to respect unjust laws.
So how did it go? How did you end up being able to do this? Because people often complain in South Africa now about the conditions for starting business. And while they aren't onerous and difficult, because the economy maybe isn't so
great. No, it's not an economy. No, yes, economy to some extent. But I can assure you, this tripartite alliance, the ANC and COSATU and the South African Communist Party, they've been to a large extent responsible for the destruction of our economy, more especially the small black business.
So if you were a small black businessman now, would it be as difficult as it was for you back in those days?
What I'm saying is right now, we have a government that is dominated and controlled by COSATU and the South African Communist Party, who people never voted for. And if you really look at some of the policy positions that they pass, you then realize that we've got a problem. I mean, I listened this morning just before I came into the studio on one of the television stations, listening to Mr. Mantashe criticizing the DA march, that it's not a genuine march, because if we're serious about the job creation, we should really be marching to the Chamber of Mines and capital. I said to myself, something is really, I mean, this man is going to put this economy even into much bigger trouble. Does he actually understand what creates jobs? Does he understand the taxes that our government is using, where those taxes come from? Now, that's really the opposition. Basically, for them, business is an enemy. That's really what Mr. Mantashe is saying. Business is the enemy of this government. Now tell me, can you really then develop the country economically? When you come out of a three-day session, this men and women of the ANC, National Executive Committee, said, we're thinking that our economy is in trouble, so we must attack business for the economy to improve. Not me. Watch television, watch what they've said. The business, capital, is the enemy of the ANC.
Now,
but now they are saying they want the economic improvement of the economy. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're going to really do it by promising people T-shirts, by promising our students. Our students today in universities with the fees must fall. Our students, our children, didn't just wake up yesterday that they want free education. ANC promised them a free education.
Yeah.
But
it's
then
it's
the ANC promised them free education. Now it's up to the ANC now to really tell the students when they made these promises, what were they basing those promises on? And now yesterday, after coming out of a 3-day Lokotla to plan the economy of this country, they are aware that the economy is in trouble, therefore business is an enemy. Capital is a problem.
Answer.
Yeah, that's the answer.
How do we create
jobs? I don't know. Honestly, please, just really get Mr. Mantashe in the ANC tell you, if capital is an enemy of the economy, now how are we going to create? I mean, it's beyond any imagination.
So how do we create jobs?
We can only create jobs when we are business-friendly. We've got to make sure that that shopping center in Dobsonville, those black entrepreneurs, not created by the ANC government, not created by the apartheid government. They operated when PW bought HL for rules that you can't go into business. Those families were running businesses in Soweto. So, you know, servicing the people of Soweto. People used to buy in those shopping centers with pride, supporting their own people, but their own people actually providing them service. That's what we need to do, to make sure that we don't really create politicians, turn them into business people, because they have no clue where this money that they've made. Because they've made the money today, but they have no clue where that money comes from. That is why they can still come out and really be against capital.
Did you, when you were young, did you have any idea that the political situation was so horribly against you?
Well, I knew from as soon as I could really see myself, I was 5-6, when I realized I was totally in a wrong world. Totally in a wrong world. But what I did, I blamed my parents. I blamed their parents. I blamed my community. for sitting back and watching. Because I just could not really understand asking my mother, people older than me, why are you just really sitting and accepting this nonsense? Yes, the National Party and HF, they had the guns. But why are we comfortable to just sit back and watch this movie unfolding in our eyes? So I knew I wasn't right. But at the same time, what made it even worse? When I was born in 1959, a year after Asia Farvut took over this country, the National Party in 1950 passed what they called the Suppression of Communism Act of 1950. They passed this piece of legislation in 1950 called the Suppression of Communism Act of 1950. Mm-hmm. That piece of legislation in 1959 when I was born, I was declared by government of the National Party as a communist. Ask any South African, please, that piece of legislation.
How did that happen? I mean, was it just everyone was declared that?
No, a black person, by virtue of being black, was automatically a communist. And then anyone who anyone who's not black, who advocated for the rights of blacks, was also declared a communist. Whether you believed in communism or not, you were declared a communist. And I grew up with this contradiction, because you know what, fortunate enough, I've always loved reading and what was happening in Russia and communist countries did never appeal to me, because those systems were the most vicious. I'm sure I don't have to really tell the world what happened
the
history is there to really know what communism can do. In fact, that's the reason why for me, every time when people tell me that I belong to the South African Communist Party, I don't know if they're not ashamed to really know what communism has done to humankind.
Well, I think that
it's scary.
We can't quantify the Communist Party, because people don't go and vote for them, and yet they claim to have some constituency.
But the Gareth, I'm talking about the repression, what communism does to human beings, human life. So that's so I grew up in this type of contradictions, where the National Party is now really putting me into this lager with this vicious evil system. At the same time, I really, for me as a human being, I just really wanted my personal freedom. I wanted my personal liberty.
Now this is an important thing. To you, the individual is very important.
Oh, very important.
Right? You don't prize. You do. You obviously have respect for community. And there must be a part of you that is glad that you had community growing up. But you do value your individual liberty, your ability to make decisions as an agent of yourself. So
absolutely. I think for me, I just don't understand every time people really want to put me into their camp. People who've never spoken to me, they don't know who they are. They think for virtue of being who I am, I belong to their camp, and they feel they're disappointed. Who gives them the right, actually, to think that I ever belong to their camp? For me, personal freedom, it's actually quite critical. And that's something that I really want to really promote and encourage. Our people in our communities, first become an individual. Don't really fall into other genders.
Well, I mean, often in the ANC, which is clearly something that must irritate you, when something goes wrong, there's collective responsibility. When something goes right, there's collective responsibility. We can't really identify who the intellectuals or who the people, the policy makers are, what informs them. It keeps things a little shadowy. With you, you've decided to nail your colors to the mast here. You're standing for the DA's position as mayor of Johannesburg. If you were mayor, where would you start? Because there are so many things that need addressing.
Oh, I had to tell you, you can imagine we're going to really be inheriting a system that's just really about to collapse. Still, to some extent, functional. I'm not really writing it off. There's a reason why I believe we can still resuscitate it. But we're going to really inherit real serious challenges. I think the first thing that I believe one needs to do, I think I've started this already with my campaigning. Mm-hmm. I really want people of South Africa to hold government to account. I think that's really very important, because the only way you can build a functioning democracy is when you have an active civil society that actually takes power. I want that men or women in Alexander to actually know that they're the bosses in this country. not the blue lights that we see harassing us on the streets, treating us like we criminals. They come in and take us out of roads as if we, you know. I don't really believe anyone would even try to treat criminals like that when they take us out of this, our streets, which we've paid out for our cars and our taxes and everything. You know, they take us out. I'm saying is, you know what? We've got to give the power back to the people, the voting South Africans. I think that's really very important. We should not ignore that before we think about changing policies and changing desks. So that's something that if I can achieve, because then people, when they vote us into power, then they give us terms to really know that, you know what, Hammond, DA, we're going to vote you into power, but we're not giving you a blank check. And I'm refusing. I'm going around to our country. I'm telling them, please don't give me a blank check, because I refuse. A blank check is very dangerous.
Are you using any of your own money in this campaign?
Do I have a choice? So because this is important. This is important. This Gareth is not really about going to Sun City, go and play some. This is really about the future of this country. So all of us need to really commit everything that we've got to ensure that this works. So I'm saying is, Gareth, for this democracy in our country to survive, we need active civil society. So the first day when I walk into the office, you know what I will do? And I really want to assure all the civil servants working for the city of Johannesburg, says, please don't really get nervous. I understand your system is not delivering right now. It's not your fault. I'd really want them to assure them, it's not your fault, and it is not their fault. It is their leadership. Those that are prepared to really work with us when we take over this administration, we'll have to really make sure that we change their attitude, we change their behavior. We want them to actually serve with pride. We want them.
You're not just going to fire a whole lot of people.
No, I want them to really know that all of us are going to be as civil servants. Because right now the NC government has created this perception to the civil servants that they're doing the country a favor. NC is doing this country a favor by ruling us, by leading us. So I'm saying to us as a DA, we're going to be the servants of the people. So I want everyone who works for the government to actually really take this. Because it is so. Anyone working for government is a civil servant. Is a servant of the people. From the leader of the party to all of us, we're going to be the servants of the people. So that's a kind of culture that I'm going to immediately focus on. Because if I'm not going to start there, I have no chance of success. Because for us to really deliver service to people of Johannesburg, we need a committed civil service. And that's really where I'm going to start. Before I can change policies and change desks, that's really where I'm going to really be my starting point. I've already started really putting measures in place so that I can get professional companies to assist me. Because I won't really be able to really do this on my own overnight. But I want, on the first day, I want all our employees to actually really know that we've got to change our mindset. And I'll really work with professional people to ensure that we reach all of them to just really change our mindset. Because that just with this bad system that we've got and bad service that we're getting, just by changing the attitude of our civil servants in Johannesburg, you can imagine the improvement that will happen. So that when you phone with a water leaking or you have the electricity cut off or whatever, when you phone, you know you're phoning someone who actually cares, someone who respects you as a boss. You can imagine the improvement that'll happen.
When it comes to politics, there are a lot of differences between politics and business. And someone like Spear says here, Mr. Mashaba, you must stick to business. Now, what do you say to that? Do you think that there are similarities between the way to run a business and the way to run a city?
Well, the thing is, tell me what is business and what's really running the city. In fact, I'm in a political office. It's really about really making sure that people of Alexander, people of Soweto, people of Sandton live in a clean city. I mean, do you have to really be a businessman or do you have to be a brain surgeon to really know that people want to live in a clean city? Yeah. So those are the things. Do you have to really understand that people want to really want clean running water every day? Do you have to really be a businessman or do you have to be a priest or be whatever? These are basic fundamental human needs that any one of us can really figure out. The question is how to really deliver them and deliver them in a way that are responsive to the community.
When you think about how this whole process unfolded. How long have you been a member of the DA, and when did it enter your mind that you would want to stand for a leadership position? Because for a while, I suppose it was useful for you to have been a member and to have helped them out, but quietly you've gone about it, either funding or doing a bit of community work. Going into leadership is a very public thing. And it's also very risky.
Gareth, how did that happen? I took a decision a month before the 2014 national elections, because I started actually talking to people and actually being overly worried that NC is still going to get over 60%, you know. And I said, but it's not possible. But unfortunately, this is the way it is. Mm. Because, and I realized at that time already that NC was already using race for them to really remain in power. You remember Cyril Ramaphosa, the Jacob Zuma went out into the community saying, don't vote for DA. They are a white party. They're going to bring back apartheid. That's when I realized we've got a problem. If the leadership of this country can go out into the communities and go and scare poor black South Africans, vulnerable about the race, this is a dangerous place. I don't want to be in a country like this. And at that time, I knew for years I've been a voter for the DA, not because they're a white party. I was voting for the DA because of their policies, about their value system. So I only voted for the DA, for the African National Congress twice in my life. Mm. First on the 27th of April 1994, mm-hmm. and when the second time in 1999. And since then, in the process, I discovered this is not the party for me. Why? The policies, the level of corruption that was beginning to emerge. And I said, no, this is not the party for me. And who appealed to me was the Democratic Alliance. And I really started voting for them. So just before the 2014 elections, when I realized the ANC leadership using race to the vulnerable people, saying to them whites are racist, that they will bring back apartheid, that's when I realized that this is a very dangerous country and dangerous phenomenon that NC, if we allow them to create, will explode this country one day. Because you can imagine if vulnerable people out there, they'd take whites to be naturally, inherently racist. That's really very dangerous. And this being promoted by ANC leadership, that's a really very dangerous phenomenon that we've got to stop. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, you know what, if ANC gets 60%, I will definitely declare to this country that I vote for the DA, so that I can actually demonstrate to our people out there that DA is not a racist party. It's a party of the future. And to my surprise, ANC received 62%. Fortunate enough, they dropped from 69, but that wasn't really enough. I then took a decision there and there that I'm going to change the direction of this country's political history. And when I made the announcement, remember, all mm-hmm. hell broke loose.
Yeah.
But then put pressure on me then by civil society, DA, people of Johannesburg, people of Cape Town, people of Limpopo. Every time when I meet them, Sister Herman, please, why don't you join, be directly into the political field? And all this time, I really felt I don't think I'd really be capable to run a political party. Can you imagine, I joined a political party for the first time in my life at the age of 54. Never belonged to any political party before. But this time, I had to do it for the future of this country.
So did they approach you to stand for mayor? They never had that.
They've been really very open about saying, Herman, please, you are our member. You're a card-carrying member. Please, why don't you stand? In fact, people of Pretoria in particular, because I was born and raised in Amanskraal. And Amanskraal obviously now turned into part of Pretoria. So people of Amanskraal, people of Pretoria says, please come and really become your mayor, our mayor. But I said, guys, firstly, I live in Johannesburg. I've been living in Johannesburg for the last 18 years. I'm a resident of Johannesburg. How can I come to Pretoria? And secondly, I'm not a politician. Yeah. But you know what? Things have changed, and they've been changing for the worst. Our economy, unemployment getting worse, drugs destroying our communities, families breaking up, our people getting desperate. That's when I really felt, no, this is enough. The breaking point, the final nail, came on that night when President Jacob Zuma made history in the world, made history. with the firing of Nene, and where in 3 days South Africa had three finance ministers. So on that night when Nene was fired, very capable South African, working under extreme difficult conditions with a party that does not really listen, and he was trying his best to really get them to really respect our treasury. When Zuma fired him without really taking the country into confidence, without actually realizing the importance of treasury and what it meant, I then said, no, Herman, time is over. I've got to then enter the political field myself. And I contacted the DA, and the following day issued a statement to everyone in South Africa that I've now taken a decision. I'm making myself available. If the DA wants my services, they are available. And everything else now is history. I'm now the official the mayoral candidate for the DA. And you saw what happened to us yesterday. And you're going to really see more and more of our people saying enough is enough and we're ready for change.
Now, Claudia says here, what is the process of changing the views of statements like Lindiwe Mazibuko's about how old white men run the DA? You're a member, but she says, how will you be recruiting young, diverse, intelligent, committed members to become MPs and to become local councillors?
I think, you know, people are really missing a fundamental challenge, a thing that is honestly is really so obvious. I'm saying to South Africans, black and white, what you do, if you believe in the policies of a political party, it's up to you to join. Yes, the political party, we're making advances. We're asking all South Africans to vote for us and, in fact, even join. But honestly, it's not really fair for anyone to really blame us for you not joining us. I don't know. So you're not, I think it doesn't really make sense. So it doesn't make
you
sense.
You don't believe in going around convincing people. They've got to convince themselves.
No, absolutely. No, definitely we have to. And we're doing this. But we've got limits. Of we've got over, 55 million South Africans. It's not humanly possible, look at it, that with all the best intentions in the world, that I can really have one-on-one every day with everyone. It's not possible. What we're saying as a DA, we go out. You know, I've just indicated to you what happened in Soweto on Tuesday. Yesterday, you saw what happened. And you look at my diary the next few days. I'm going to try everything possible to really go into the communities. But what I'm saying, if you're a South African, you believe in DA policies, race should not really be an issue. What I think in a political party, you mustn't look for people who look like you. They really judge people by their policies. Don't judge people by what they say. Judge people about what they do. Because look at what has happened to the promises made by the ANC over the last 21 years. So I think people must actually wake up to understand that you don't just judge people by what they say. Judge them by what they do. ANC has led South Africa down so many times that if you believe you still want to be an ANC member, honestly, you can't then blame us for really being an ANC member and supporter and a voter.
Can I ask you something? Is there anything in the DA that you don't believe in, that you want to change? Are there things about the DA that you are not comfortable with? You said earlier that most of the things that the DA stands for, most of the policies that they've formulated, most of the ideas they have are things you agree with. But are there things that you don't agree with?
No. Fortunately, on all the major issues, we're on 100% agreement. I think as human beings, we'll always disagree from time to time. One guy wants to put a desk there, but I said, no, I want to face it that way. You know what? We can compromise. We've got those differences.
So nothing,
but we allow...
Nothing big.
Yeah, no. And that is really what I like about the DA and the party that I now represent. We differ on issues every day. I mean, on the Tuesday night, we had a fantastic, robust meeting with our team from head office. We agree on certain things. Like, I'm giving you an example. Someone says, no, I really want this desk to face this way. And someone says, no, I don't believe it must face this way because I think facing this way will give up. You know what? We don't really take those to really be issues that must divide us. These are the things that actually build us, because then eventually we find a compromise. It's okay, guys, let's put it in the middle. But on major policies to really drive the economy of this country, all of us, and there's a reason why I've now really joined the party, because this is the party. Yesterday, marched for jobs. really indicating to South Africa that for us to create jobs, we need businesses, we need small businesses. That's really, for me, very important, very fundamental. They are saying, please, all of us, we agree, give South Africans the right to work. Give the 8.5 million South Africans the right to work. Whereas the ruling party government, after 3 years strategic session, they come out, they say, no, capital, it's our enemy.
I just want to go to a call quickly. Celeste is on the line. She wants to talk to you. She's from East London. Celeste, go ahead. You could talk to Herman Mashaba.
Good morning, Herman. Good morning, Gareth. I just want to make a contribution in the sense that the DA is really, at the end of the day, you know, the bad reputation that we have as the DA is that we are our own worst enemy, in the sense of encouraging robust and diverse conversations. You know, when things come out, with whether it be corruption or racism or whatever within the party, it is dealt with in an open, fair and transparent manner, which actually I think sometimes makes it worse. So I agree with what Herman says. You know, you cannot agree with all of the policies that or actions that the party takes, but on the whole, that is where it's coming from, and that's why the DA must survive.
Celeste, are you a councillor? Are you a member? Are you an MP? What's the story?
I'm a card-carrying member, activist. No, I'm not. I'm not salaried by the DA.
Oh, okay. Well, interesting call, but thank you for that. Do you think that being as open as Celeste says about the things that go on in the DA is also your enemy some of the time? Because
that is really, I mean, what Celeste has just said, I think it's something that the DA promotes. I think we promote robust discussions. That's right. Let me give you a practical example of how great movement we have. Look at now with all our mayoral candidates. We've already announced all elected in an open, transparent, democratic process. So when people of Johannesburg are going to vote, they know they're not voting for the party only. Yes, they're voting for the party, but they know
who
their
the
mayor
person is.
But we allowed open contestation. You know, when people in the DA, when members in the DA fights for position, vicious. It becomes a vicious. And the parties, it's encouraging that. But at the end of the day, whoever comes out to really be the winner overall and won under democratic processes, then we all say we've got to embrace that. And that's really important. What the party is all about.
Now, Zandisile says, and we've got to finish on this because Lois Obala is waiting to do his show next. Herman Mashaba is our guest, by the way, if you've been listening for the last little bit. He's going to be the DA's mayoral candidate. He is the mayoral candidate for Johannesburg. Zandisile says, I think an average township voter won't vote for a candidate like Ntate Mashaba. He seems like he doesn't have a clear plan, unlike Mr. Msimang from Tswane. With Mr. Mashaba, there is something uncomfortable about him. From strong ANC supporter Zandisile, what do you say to Zandisile?
Well, Zandisile, please, I think... In fact, you know what? Zandisile is going to really vote for me. If she lives in Johannesburg, I can assure you, she's going to vote for DA somewhere, wherever she lives. Zandisile, we'd really love to really see your vote, because you know, I know you're a concerned South African. You want to see this country progress and really get to the next level. So I know when the DA wins some of the cities, the metros, I know I'm going to count on your vote.
Can he come and Zandisile? Can he come and meet you?
I know
at one of your rallies.
I know. I'm going with DA is going to your vote is going to make a difference. So, and I really appreciate it.
There we go. All right, Zandisile, thank you, and thank you very much, Herman Mashaba. It's a pleasure to meet you properly and to sit and talk a little bit. And all the best for this this year. It's going to be a very, very difficult year. It's going to be a busy year.
Absolutely.
But you're looking forward to it?
I'm really looking forward to it and excited. Thank you very much, Gareth, and your
pleasure.
Team.
Pleasure. Lovely to have you here. Thank you so much. All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 in the morning. Lois Obala is next to the open book. There's plenty of other good stuff today. It is a Thursday, which is always exciting on cliffcentral.com. Don't you go anywhere. It's about to get very exciting. Cliffcentral.com.